Welcome back to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Johnny, the variables, talking about the I love Julian coming up with that frame. It's a whole new way. So critical race theory isn't this crazy, frightening way of making white people afraid or sad about being white. It's using the variable of, let's use race, to study history. The study of the past. We've talked about this on the show. Look, the study of the past is a discipline that requires evidence, argumentation, and frames. But what Julian, what you just said, I think now is better than a frame. It's a variable, and people understand if you introduce variables, you're going to look at things differently, and that's okay. Is that, am I interpreting what you were saying before the break?
Yeah, exactly. So what critical race theory does when you're conducting research is saying, we think we should consider that this situation, women may experience, for example, raises, and there's disparities in pay because it's related to ongoing issues with gender equity. So that's essentially what that allow. And it comes, of course, critical race theory, of course, comes from the legal profession. But let me give you a specific example. So we experienced George Floyd and his murder as a nation last summer. And so the challenge is that now there are folks that don't actually, so the response to George Floyd is that we don't want you to talk about George Floyd. In fact, what we don't want you to talk about is that there are broader problems in policing related to race. Now, with these conversations that we're having right now, and to me that it doesn't make sense that after George Floyd, that the response would be, now we don't want to talk about George Floyd. We don't want educators to talk about George Floyd. We don't want to talk about the challenges that we have in law enforcement and why this is a longstanding structural problem. They want to discuss the issue as if it's only about particular individuals or about bad apples. But we're talking about an orchard full of challenges that we have related to race and gender. And so I do think the response after George Floyd should not be, let's not talk about George Floyd and race. That's essentially where we're headed right now.
Johnny, what do you got?
Yeah, I love that. That's a great example for our listeners to hear that. And that idea to loop back around him to talking about race and gender and social class as variables. I think it's key to recognize too, it's a step forward in recognizing and valuing those variables, right? That they're conditions of existence, they're conditions of diversity of our human existence, that to do better research, to do better by democracy and community, you have to embrace them. We're not all the same, and we're not all experiencing unjust legislation and cultural histories the same way. There's a lot of suffering going on. And I love Julian providing that example about George Floyd because it's so fresh in all of our minds. And we are all teaching right now in the midst of the largest social uprising of all of our lifetimes, right? And so this is a big moment to be doing this work. I'm interested, I got a question to kind of build on this. As someone in teacher education, someone working all the time in our schools, but also in higher ed, we talked about we got to hire the right people. We got to build into this changed curriculum, diversity itself. And so you're in it, Julian. You're leading at your institution, and I know we have deans who listen. I know we have department chairs and colleagues and faculty members and students who are always asking, what are we doing to provide our young people in this nation with more diversity in their teachers? So back to kind of loop back around to recruitment, great retention, question. And I'm what can we, just from your seat, from your expertise, what can we all be doing more of?
Look, so I think first of all, there are a lot of folks out there, and before the call we were talking about academic leadership positions. And what's interesting about these academic leadership applications now, if you kind of take a look at them, there are diversity champions, diversity and inclusion champions applying for these jobs all over the place. And the question is, are those folks actually diversity and inclusion champions? And I say that the receipts matter. And what I mean by the receipts, the results. So again, we do this work as a community. So we've doubled the number of African-American admits to the College of Education this past year. We've increased cohort-wise, because it takes some time to move the population for the entire college, but it's the cohorts that gets us there, if you understand what I'm saying. It's who you admit each year. So in that population, we've increased by about 4% our students of color. In terms of the faculty hiring, 2/3 of our faculty last year were people of color, 1/3 were African-American. And so I think what you've got to do is when you have folks that come to you and say, I'm an academic leader who has vision and expertise in diversity, equity, and inclusion, you want to ask them for their receipts. You want to check those receipts, because there's a lot of folks out there now that say that they're advocates for this work and they've delivered results. And so you just got to ask, what are those results? So I think that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, once we get faculty and students on campus, we need to create the climate environment in which they can thrive. That means giving faculty young faculty of color the resources they need to not just survive, but thrive in our environment. Because what happens is the students are then attracted to those faculty. They're looking at our web pages. They're looking at the fact that we have the new NAACP Center for Civil Rights and Education. And so we're trying to create the climate. And you see an example. I felt North Carolina, you saw all the drama that happened with Hannah Nicole Jones. And I had a faculty member from another SEC institution texting me about that this morning when it was announced that she was going to Howard. And he asked, what do you think the results of this are going to be? North Carolina has a long road now, because the community of scholars is very small, and especially among Ford fellows and other, formal and informal networks, they're going to have a lot of work to do. And so institutions have reputations, is what I'm saying. And so we want the College of Education to have a reputation that we're going to take faculty and we're going to make sure that they're successful, that we're going to bring in students and we're going to make sure that they're successful. And when you have events happen at your institution, like what you saw with Hannah Nicole Jones, that's a chilling effect. That's the opposite of what you want to be occurring. And so we want to make sure that our reputation in the field at AERA, amongst our peers, amongst high-level scholars of color, that it's a place where faculty and students can come and thrive when they're interested in work around diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I think the other important thing is that faculty want to know that the dean is going to have their back if they get death threats, or if they're threatened in other ways, through the political bureaucracy. And so I think that's where academic leaders have to have a spine of steel for diversity, equity, and social justice.
Man, I think about that, Julian. You just made, the original early work of Education Deans for Justice and Equity, EDGE, giving a big shout out there, particularly for the few, there was about 20 of us at an AERA somewhere around 2014 that had this idea, because of what you just said. It was like, who's delivering the goods? And there were a group of people, and Kevin Kumashiro, thank you for taking the full brunt of the lead of that. So we'll give you a big props, and he's been on the show before. But the idea too was to build an organization of leaders within schools of education that were going to deliver the goods. So when you just talked about that, I thought that was great. I saw Johnny's eyes be like, yeah, that's what I'm kind of looking for. And then the idea of a dean having their back. You know, we've got about a minute left. And so, Julian, man, we could just continue going on and on. But if I'm thinking, I'm going to ask this question, just frame it from the parent out there who's saying, my kid really wants to be a teacher, or my nephew, or somebody in my family wants to be a teacher. I'm really worried, though, that they're not going to be able to teach and they're going to get in trouble. How do you counter that narrative to say, wait a minute, teaching is still the place where equity and justice matters? How do we do this as leaders? I'll give you one minute.
Yeah. Okay. So, our enrollment's up about 17% over the last 2 years. And I think that's because they know that that our college is the space to do the work that matters. They know that they will be the center of communities. Communities are the schools of the center of communities. They know that at Kentucky that we're committed to that work. So I think that's the first thing. How much time do I have left?
You have like 27 seconds.
27 seconds. Man, so I think the bottom line is that, you know, people are going to want to move to states. They're going to want to go to schools where history is really taught. I think that it's a fraught problem when we have a movement that wants to cancel and limit liberty. I think ultimately what's going to happen is we're going to have a Rosa Parks moment. What do I mean by that? I think that we'll see a test case, because right now the Supreme Court has allowed districts to control the speech in K-12. In higher education, it's a different story. But I suspect in the future, we're going to see a test case on all of these different conversations and laws, et cetera, and Idaho, Texas, et cetera. And that test case is going to be a Rosa Parks moment about whether we can teach history or whether we can't.
Absolutely. Well, that's it, Johnny. That's Johnny. Great. Yeah, when we come back. So when we get back from our next commercial set, Johnny and I are going to break this down a little bit, but Jillian Vasquez-Heleg, Dean, College of Education, University of Kentucky, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. And man, it has been years, but it will only be months before you're back on. Maybe even, hey, weeks. Let's get you back on the show. Jillian Vasquez-Heleg, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you, Doc. Thank you, Dean Vasquez.
Sorry, I don't have any pencils to break.
That's all right, man. We always love that. Busted Pencils back after the break.